It is so very good to see everybody here this morning. As I am looking across the audience, I see we do have some visitors. You're most welcome, a most honored guest. Whenever you are here in the Searcy area again, it is a hope and a desire that you will come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you are able and willing to. My sermon this morning is actually, I consider to be one of the more important sermons that I have delivered here. I think every sermon is important, but this one really is extremely important. Because what we're going to be talking about this morning is our end of the covenant. What God expects of us, for us to be able to have a relationship with Him, to ultimately be with Him in heaven. Please understand, at the very heart of every Christian's relationship with God is faith. The text we had here read, Hebrews chapter 10, let's go back to it now and look at verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. Just stop right here. That's the morning lesson. You can all go home. No, we're going to go further than that. But basically, that's what the whole lesson's about. Is if you want to be justified by God, if you want to have a relationship with God where God sees you as one of His children, if you want access to the grace of God by which mankind can be saved, the only way you have access to God's grace is to live by faith. You do not have access to the grace of God by works. Did I shake you when I said that? What we're going to be doing today is understanding faith. Because you need to understand the works that we do in our relationship with God are not trying to earn our way to heaven. Because the truth of the matter is, you're not going to earn your way to heaven. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. We all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, so game's over. If I make it to heaven, it's going to be by the grace of God. But you must understand that the way in which we have access to that grace is by faith. But you've got to understand what faith is. And that's the whole point of the sermon this morning. We're going to be having an in-depth study of faith. To come to understand what faith is, since it is so vitally important in us being Christians and in us having any hope of being saved. As you continue the text, it says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. If you want your soul to be saved, the only way your soul will be saved is by faith. Learning to live by faith. Now you see that verb there, live? That's action. And that is a major part of faith, is the action of the faith. That's going to be the close of the sermon this morning. But I also want you to see a major part of faith gets down to the very basic of what do you believe. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God, you've got to believe that He is. Now, I want to make you an observation right here, right up front. You haven't seen God. No man has seen God. And so you should understand right up front, one of the aspects of faith we're going to be learning here from Hebrews 11 and 1 is dealing with things not seen. But you must believe that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There are rewards that God will bless us with if we diligently seek Him and seek Him through faith. The best definition of actually what faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's from the New King James and the King James versions. But I want you to see the same verse now from the New American Standard and the American Standard. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Going back to what we learned there earlier in chapter 11 and 6, about faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and yet again, as I told you, we haven't seen Him. Faith is dealing with things, look at this, not seen. Conviction of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. I gave you months and months of sermons to try to explain to you why I believe in God. But I haven't seen God. And why I believe the Bible is revelation from God the Creator, yet I haven't seen God. Why I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, yet I haven't seen Jesus. I didn't see the crucifixion. I didn't see the resurrection. I didn't see any of the miracles. Then why do I believe? Because I believe the witnesses. I believe the testimony of those who did see. So it is dealing with things you haven't seen. And yet you believe this. But it's not just that. Look at the first part of the verse. Assurance of things hoped for. We're dealing again with understanding that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're dealing here with the hope of heaven, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life with God Almighty, where there is no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. We're dealing with the very heart of Christianity, the hope of going to heaven to be with God. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's there, it's real. It's not a pie in the sky. Look at that word assurance. It's there. I know it's there. Total confidence that's there without doubting. Conviction. Do you really believe this about Jesus? In John chapter 20, 30 to 31. Have you noticed, by the way, I've used this verse just about in every sermon for the last few weeks? And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Let's stop right there. What's he talking about? You know what he's talking about. He's talking about the miracles. He's talking about the miracles that these people have seen that Jesus did. They saw him walking on the water. They saw him healing the multitudes of any kind of illness. It didn't even matter if you were dead. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him feeding 5,000 men and women and children with just a few loaves and a few fishes. They saw the miracles, and they recorded them. These are written, why? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. This is one of the main reasons I believe. I believe when I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading about the birth of Jesus, that this is the truth about the way He was born to the Virgin Mary. When I read about the miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't believe it's a myth. I don't believe it's a pie in the sky. I don't believe it's a cunningly devised fable. I believe it's the truth. I believe He really did these things. And because I really believe He did these things, and this is the means into which He was born, I come to a conclusion that somebody I've never seen, He's the Christ. He really is the Son of God. Now listen real close. If you want to be a Christian, this is what you must believe about Jesus. You cannot be a Christian without actually having this faith. Now listen to this in your heart. It's not enough of what I believe. It's got to be what you believe. You cannot go to heaven on your parents' coattails. You cannot go to heaven on your husband or your wife's faith. You can only go to heaven on your faith. This is why each and every one of us need to search it out. Seek it out and try to find the truth about who is Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every person who is a Christian, every person who sincerely believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, has come to that point of faith only through the word of God. Listen to me. If your faith is based in what mom and dad believe, and you believe it because mom and dad believe it, guess what? That's not going to get you very far. If your faith is because my friends around me, they believe this, so I'm going to believe it. I've asked this question before, and it's an important question. Why are most Hindus Hindu? You weren't ready for that one, were you? Why are most Hindus Hindu? I can tell you why, because they were raised around Hindus. Well, why are most Muslims Muslim? I can tell you why, because they were raised around Muslims. Why are most Buddhists Buddhist? I can tell you why. Because they were raised around Buddhist. Well now, are you seeing a pattern? Why are most people who profess to be Christians, Christians? Because of who they're raised around. Yeah. We're no different. The point I'm trying to get across is, that's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. You cannot have a relationship with God based upon, yeah, my friends believe it, so it must be true. Mom and dad say it's true, so it must be true. No, it's got to be what you believe, and that faith has got to be produced not by mom and dad, not by your friends, but by you, you going to the Word of God, you reading it, you hearing it, and you coming to the conclusion, you know what? That's the truth. He really did these things. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing that will change your life more than when it is your personal faith that you believe and you know why you believe it. That will change your life. That kind of faith will give you access to the grace of God by which you can be saved. But just coming to services because, well, that's where people go. My family goes there, so I'll go there. No, no. Your faith has got to come through the Word of God. In John 11, 26 to 27, here Jesus speaking to, you remember Martha and Mary? Lazarus is dead here. He says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, we're going to be talking about this aspect of faith in a moment, and that is the trust. But look at what she says in verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's what she believed about Jesus. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When you go over to Acts chapter 8, you remember when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch? The eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? This is the answer that Philip gave him. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So what we learn here is who baptism is for. Who is allowed to be baptized? His answer was this. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, there's two things there. One is that he's the Christ, the Messiah. We've talked about this numerous times as he's dealing with the King of the Kingdom. That the kingdom has actually come, the kingdom is the church, and that Jesus is the King of that kingdom. And not only that, that he's the Son of God. What's that mean, the Son of God? It's talking about the virgin birth. The prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, how the Christ was going to be born of a virgin, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I believe the virgin birth took place. I believe the Virgin Mary was the mother of Jesus. I don't believe Joseph or any other man was his father. I believe God is his father. Wow. Wow. Can you think of anything bigger to say about somebody you ain't never seen? How can you get to that degree of belief about somebody you've never seen? I believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is telling me the truth about his birth, about the miracles, about his crucifixion, and about his resurrection. Acts 16, 30 through 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. But believe what? Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is not his last name. Christ is, he's the Messiah. He's the King. Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on further in verse 10, he says, for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. You see, it is one thing to believe who he is, but there's more to it. You got to understand and believe he died on Calvary for a purpose. He died on that cross for a reason. Because he loved you personally. He knows you personally. And he died on that cross so your sins can be forgiven. I'm telling you, folks, you want to know something that's going to change your life dramatically? Is when you find yourself loving Jesus Christ, whom you've never seen. When you find yourself loving God, whom you've never seen. And the only way you're going to get to that level of relationship with God is through faith. The love for God is a manifestation of faith. This is put over in Romans, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Having known and believed the love that God has for us. And drop down to verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. If you love him, you keep his commandments. Where are you going to get this love? How are you going to love God who you've never seen? By knowing and understanding that Calvary really happened. And it happened for me. Personalize the cross. Personalize Christ crucified. And understand he knows you personally. He loves you individually. And everything he went through for you. When you recognize that and you believe this, and you understand after he was buried 3 days later, he rose from the dead. When you believe this and you honestly, sincerely believe it with all your heart, you may be baptized. Because now you're ready to live by faith. You cannot live by faith if you don't have faith. You got that? That's pretty clear, isn't it? You cannot live by faith if you don't know what you believe about Jesus. And you may not really sure about the crucifixion. And you're not really sure about the resurrection. We don't walk by doubt. We don't live by doubt. You don't have access to the grace of God by doubt. What he wants is total, absolute, pure faith. No doubting. No doubting God's existence. No doubting who Jesus is. No doubting why he was crucified. No doubting his resurrection. Because that is the only thing that is going to truly change your life and get you to the point to where you can actually repent and become a child of God the way the Lord wants you to be. Is when your relationship is driven by faith, by hope. You remember hope? Believe that God is, that he's the reward of those who diligently seek him. Hope has to do with belief. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now we're getting to the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. The resurrection is coming. But why do you believe the resurrection is coming? This gets down now to what we have trust. Before I go to trust, though, I want to look at this verse here in 2 Thessalonians, real quick. Chapter 2, 11 through 12. For this reason, God will send him strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Actually, I want you to just get two phrases out of this verse. Believe the lie, believe the truth. Everybody, even the atheist, believes something. That's true. Everybody believes something. Even the person that doesn't believe in God, that's what they believe. The question is this. Are you going to believe the truth? The truth about the existence of God Almighty, the Creator. The truth about who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of God. The truth about Jesus as far as his crucifixion for your sins and his resurrection, that's the truth. Or are you going to believe a lie? Are you going to believe a lie? There's all kinds of lies out there. That's been Satan's number one method of attack of mankind from the very beginning. It's to lie to us. There are lies about God's existence. There are lies about Jesus and who he is. There are lies about how to become a Christian. There are countless lies out there. Which one are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? I want to encourage you, believe the truth. Believe the truth about God. Believe the truth about Jesus. Now then, let's get to trust. Ephesians 1, reading from verse 12 through 14. That you who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Let's go ahead and finish this verse out. In him also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that there's a connection here between believing and trust? Trust is a whole other aspect of faith that you must understand to truly have the proper definition and understanding of what faith is. First, faith has to do with what you believe. Second of all, it has to do with, do you trust what God said? Do you believe the truth and have confidence? You remember assurance? The assurance and conviction? Do you have assurance and conviction that what they're telling you is coming in the future is the truth? I got a question for you. You seen hell? No. Have you seen heaven? No. And I died once. That's a joke. It's the truth, but it's a joke. And I didn't see anything. I hadn't been there, I hadn't seen it. And why do I believe it? Trust. Because God tells me so. God tells me there's hell. God tells me there's a heaven. And I believe it with total trust, with no doubt whatsoever. You must understand this aspect of faith in order to understand faith and living by faith. You remember what we learned earlier from Hebrews 11 and 1? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hope is a product of faith. Love for God is a product of faith. Godly fear of hell is a product of faith. This is why the just live by faith. Because hope's a product of it. Love's a product of it. Godly fear is a product of it. And all of those are motivators in your life as to why you do what you do. We trust in Christ after we've heard the gospel and we believe it. We have a living hope of our own resurrection because I believe he died and rose from the dead. I honestly believe I'm going to rise from the dead. I've done umpteen funerals in my life, and guess what? I have total confidence I'm going to see him again. No doubt. I'm going to see him again. And it's not that far away. And I'm not talking about the second coming of Christ. I'm just talking about our life is like a vapor. All of us here for a little while, and then we're gone. But the resurrection is real, and it's coming. In John 5, verses 46 to 47, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You see, this has to do with, do you believe what he says here? Do you believe that he actually is going to come again? And that he's actually really at the right hand of God right now. I mean, why can't we just see that? Come on, show me some pictures. Let's put it on video. No. You just have to believe what he said is the truth. Romans 4 and 3. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do when it came to God? He trusted him. He trusted him to where God said, you come out of your land of Ur of the Chaldees to a land that I'm going to show you, that I'm going to give to your children. He got up and he left. He trusted God. Anytime God told him to do something, he trusted God. Even when he told him to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, he trusted him. We find in the Hebrew letter, he was accounting to the fact that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead because he knew that the promise was going to be through Isaac. That's trust. Do you understand that? That's what God wants us to have in him. He just wants us to trust him. When we don't understand why, when we don't understand what's happening, he just wants you to trust him, to have confidence in him. He's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. He will never lie to you. Acts 27:25. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. This is Paul speaking here, talking to the men in the boat with him who were in the middle of a storm. And God's told Paul, nobody's going to die. Nobody, not one soul's going to perish. Paul believed God that it was going to be exactly, precisely the way God said it was going to be. It wasn't going to be kind of close. No, it was going to be exactly the way God said it was going to be. It's really no more complex than that. If God says something is going to be happening in the future, it's going to happen, boom, exactly, precisely the way he says it's going to happen. And he wants us to trust him enough to where we will build our life around the future, seeing the future through the eyes of faith, seeing the resurrection through the eyes of faith, seeing judgment day through the eyes of faith, seeing heaven itself through the eyes of faith and trust, to where we will build our entire life and all of our actions around working toward that hope, that real hope. You see, that kind of faith, that'll change your life. That'll change the way you live. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him again until that day. We have a song that we sing that's basically that right there. But I want you to look at this. I know in whom I have believed. Do you see any doubt in that phrase? No. Total, absolute confidence, no doubt. He knows what he's committed to him, and that is the keeping of his soul and going to heaven. How can Christians have joy? You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. You need to understand this. The joy and the peace of the Christian, the fruit of the Spirit, is a fruit of faith. When you realize, I've already been forgiven. The sins are committed that I deserve to go to hell for. I've been forgiven. Consciousness of forgiveness can produce peace and joy like nothing else. And the resurrection is real. We're going to see our loved ones again. We'll see them. And I cling to that hope. And I have joy. Joy is connected to hope always in the Scriptures. If you desire the joy and you desire the peace of Christianity, then work on the faith that produces it. If you're missing the joy and you're missing the peace, you need to go back to square one and work on your faith and quit doubting. You need to find out what the truth is and believe it with every fiber of your being, no doubt, to where you know in whom you believe and you know it's the truth. That kind of faith is where the peace that passes all understanding comes from. That kind of trust is where perfect peace comes from. You're familiar with Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. What's the last part of the verse? Because he trusts in you. Do you understand now why faith is the key to it all? Hebrews 10 now, 35 to 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In our lives, as you live by faith, as you walk by faith, I've got some bad news for you. You're going to be hit again and again. And again, and it comes in waves sometimes. You remember Job? While he was yet speaking, as it says in the first chapter, here comes more bad news. While he was yet speaking, more bad news. you've lost all your wealth. While he was yet speaking, the most terrible news you could imagine, all 10 of your children are dead. I told you in the Bible class this morning, my favorite verse from the book of Job is very simply this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Satan's going to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you to wear you down, to get you to the point to where he wants you to give up hope, to give up trust, to give up faith, to stop trusting God. Because he knows the moment you give up your hope, the moment you give up your trust and your faith, he's got you. Hold fast to it. Do not cast away your confidence. It will be the way God said it will be. We will see our loved ones again. We are going to heaven. We have been forgiven. It is the truth. That's the truth. Believe the truth with absolute trust. And don't let go of your conviction and your confidence and your assurance of the truth. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Now the last part of faith. And you got to understand, this is part of faith. And understanding biblical faith, this is part of it. The obedience of faith. Over in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you get that right there? The problem is people are using verbal expression of who Jesus is. You're the Lord. You're the Christ. But I'm not going to do what you say do. This is why I often tell you, it is not enough to recognize that Jesus is the King, folks. He's got to be your king. There's a total difference in it. Not enough to give mental consent to who Jesus is. He has to truly be your Lord and your King, to where you submit to him as the servant to the master, to your King, to your Lord. Do what he says do by faith. Over in James chapter 2, James chapter 2 is one of the best texts in the entire New Testament to help you understand this aspect of faith. I'm just going to read several phrases from it here. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Please do not think this text is teaching you have access to grace by works alone. Works alone without faith do nothing. What you're dealing with here is works that are the product of the faith. He goes on further in verse 19. He says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now listen, do devils believe in God? Yes. Do demons believe in God? Yes. Do the demons believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? Yes. Do the demons believe he died on the cross for the sins of mankind? Yes. Do demons believe he rose from the dead? Yes. Well, are the demons saved? No. Why? Because the demons are not going to obey by faith. Obedience is an understood reality and part of biblical faith. As you go further in the text, he says in verse 21 and following, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now, wasn't that the same Abraham we learned earlier who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Here, James is going further and explaining that same concept. Look at verse 22. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? Faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. That's the idea of complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This text is not teaching salvation by works only. Anybody who takes it in that direction, you're abusing the text. This salvation teaches salvation by faith. But by biblical faith, not faith without works, not faith without obedience. It is obedience of faith that we're dealing with here. What Abraham did, he did by faith. You remember the opening verse? The just shall live by faith. The living is the actions, the product of the faith. Hebrews says in chapter 3 and verse 11, to those who did not obey, let's go back and go to the outline and read the entire verse. But to whom he did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All I want you to see here is the connection between unbelief and not obeying. That's all. All I want you to see is those who had unbelief are the ones who did not obey. Again, the only point I'm trying to make with this is there's a connection in biblical faith. There's a connection between faith and obedience. The obedience is an understood reality that is a product of the biblical faith. How about this one? Four words. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. That's it in a nutshell right there. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to obey him by faith. And listen, folks, that is not going to make you a legalist. It irritates me when people say, yeah, you people down there in the Church of Christ, y'all are legalists. No, we're not. That is a false accusation. If you don't know what a legalist is someone that thinks, I'm going to heaven because of my works. Folks, if my works were going to determine my eternal destiny, I'm going to hell, end of subject. I'm not going to go to heaven because of my works, I assure you. You do not have access to the grace of God by works. You have access to the grace of God by faith. That is a total belief of who Jesus is and what he did. This total trust in the promises of God and a faith that obeys, to where you by faith obey. The works that we do are not trying to earn our way to heaven, as though when judgment day comes, God's going to say, Fench, you did so awesome, you get to come in. Really? Nobody here believes that. We are not legalists, but we are realists. And we understand that biblical faith means you obey. And so, if the scripture says, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments, when we keep his commandments because we love him, we're not legalists. We're just serious about loving him. We're serious about him being our king. We're serious about him being our Lord. They're not just empty words that the demons can utter. Anybody can utter your Lord, Lord. Anybody can call him king. But if you want to be a Christian, God expects you to have a faith that will obey him and keep his commandments. Galatians 5 and 6 puts it pretty simply this way. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. But what? Faith working through love. That's it. The works that we do. The reason we're here this morning, faith working through love. The reason we sing, faith working through love. The reason we take the Lord's Supper, faith working through love. The reason we do the things that we do that are trying to be good works, faith working through love. The reason we don't do things that we don't do, faith working through love. You see, the works that we're doing is just the product of the faith. That's all. It's the obedience of faith. Because if you really want to understand biblical faith, you have to understand that obedience is an understood part of it. If you just call him Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that he says, the truth of the matter is he's not your Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Look at that. Work of faith. And again, labor of love. You got to understand, the faith is the gasoline driving the action. The hope is the gasoline driving the action. The love is the gasoline driving the action. It's why we do what we do. Nobody here believes we're going to go to heaven because we deserve it. We go to heaven because God has had mercy on us. And God has forgiven us. And we have come to God through Jesus Christ. Sincerely believing that Jesus actually is his son. That he died for my sins. That he's the Christ. And 3 days later, after he died and was buried, he rose from the dead. And believing that, I have hope. I have godly fear. I even have love. And from that faith and that love, I have these works that he's talking about here. We'll close this out now with Acts 16:26. But now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Why? For the obedience to the faith. That's not difficult to see, is it? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's dealing with things not seen, and yet we believe it with all of our heart, no doubting. And we believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And because we believe in heaven and the resurrection, we're building our entire life around this. Everything we do, everything is built around this faith. It's not just part of your life. It is your life. It's why you do everything you do and why you don't do the things you don't do. Do you understand now why it's so important that you understand what biblical faith is? When people remove obedience from faith, what they're left with is what the Bible describes as a dead faith. And listen, folks, you're not going to make it to heaven on a dead faith. I like the way the Lord put it through the Apostles John and 1 John. In the second chapter, he said, by this you know that you know him, if you keep his commandments. The man says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments. Now listen to this. The scripture says, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. You see, the keeping of his commandments, driven by our faith, our hope, our godly fear, and our love, that's not us earning our way to heaven. That's us just doing what our God said do. Because he's God. He commands it. And all we do is go, yes, Lord. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you believe that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and yet you have not become a Christian, the way in which you become a Christian is openly confess that faith. You remember what we read earlier from Romans? Openly confess your faith of what you believe about Jesus. And then be willing to repent. And make no mistake about it, folks, repentance is the toughie. There's the change. There's the putting off the old man, the putting on the new man. How on earth are you going to be raised to walk in newness of life and have a transformation in your life? I can tell you how. Faith. Repentance is the product and the obedience of faith. The changes that you're taking place in your life, driven by faith, that is repentance. If you're willing to repent, then by faith, do what the king said do, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Why do it? I'll tell you why. He said so. End of subject. You know why I got baptized? Because he said do it. No more complex than that. But I also believe when he says for remission of sins, what he meant was for remission of sins. That's where the joy of a Christian comes from. When you know you've been forgiven. If you're a child of God already, and your faith has been weak. If your faith has been weak, then it's manifest in your actions. If you're not obeying by faith, something's wrong at the very foundation of your relationship with God. You need to go back to square one. You need to solidify your faith. You need to solidify with no doubting who is Jesus. You need to solidify with no doubting what happened at Calvary and why. You need to solidify with no doubting about the resurrection. You need to solidify with no doubting hell. You need to solidify with no doubting heaven. and then get serious about approaching God through your faith, your hope, your love, and your godly fear to the point to where in your future life you will start obeying by faith. If there's sin between you and your God, the blood of Christ is there for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can as your spiritual family to do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way whatsoever, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.